You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora, Kari. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rachel?
Very good. It's lovely to have you up here. Now, you are curating a show that's down in Dunedin, and I have to apologise because I've been saying it's at the Blue Oyster, but it's not. But maybe you want to talk to us a little bit about, who are you and what is this show? Because it sounds really exciting.
Sure. So I guess I would describe myself as an independent curator, and I'm doing this show with my sister, Liddy Schmidt.
Very cool.
In Dunedin. And it kind of came about because this is the 125th anniversary of women's suffrage in New Zealand. And we're both kind of in Dunedin at a certain time in our lives when we have some time and space to do something. So we thought we'd organise this and apply for funding and see what we can kind of do. So it's basically an exhibition with 8 artists, all of whom have connections to Dunedin in one way or another. About the history of intersectional feminism in Dunedin from suffrage to today, so that's cool. 1893 to 2018. And also a publication with interviews with various women and institutions in Dunedin.
Awesome, that sounds like a great project. And a very, very sort of like fitting for, as you're saying, the time of year, like the year that we're in rather, 125 years is a long time to be sort of the leaders of suffrage in the world. Nice one, New Zealand. Good one out there. But yeah, it's still such an important conversation, obviously, and a really dense one as well. So why Dunedin in particular? Why was that a place that interested you to talk about suffrage from?
So my sister and I both grew up in Dunedin, and when we had the idea to do this exhibition, we really wanted to do something that wasn't super general and kind of expansive. Like, we really wanted it to have sort of set parameters. Mm-hmm. To kind of, help us make a really robust show and kind of investigate a place where we've lived for a long time, mm-hmm. but maybe don't know a lot of the histories that have taken place there. Mm-hmm. I guess just to have a really kind of refined focus, and also just to kind of develop our relationships with this place that we think we know so well, but actually there's so much kind of underneath that
totally.
You don't know about. So.
So who are some of the artists that you're including?
So we have, I think, 8 artists in total. So in Dunedin, Megan Brady is an artist who's going to be curating contributions from artists at Studio 2 in the Margaret Freeman Gallery, which is basically a space that enables people with intellectual and physical disabilities to make artworks.
Cool.
So those are going to be in the show. Then we're going to have a work by a Māori artist in Dunedin called Mariwa Saverne, a foreign immigrant in Dunedin called Swarupa Uni, Matthew Whiteman, who is in Wellington at the moment, and then a few Auckland-based artists, so Emma Chalmers and Sophie Black, and then also Sarah Beard from Dunedin and Janet Vugd as well. So
awesome.
I don't know if those names mean anything to you, but...
They certainly will to BFM listeners, I'm sure. That's really awesome. A nice sort of really diverse group of artists as well, which is great, speaking about intersectional feminism as well, getting lots of those different perspectives in there.
Yeah, well, we've kind of... the way we're kind of framing it is that intersectional feminism is sort of the avant-garde of feminism today, and suffrage is sort of most progressive descendant. So the contributions that we had from artists, we really wanted to have quite a diversity of voices and perspectives included in the show. Mm-hmm. So I think hopefully we'll achieve that.
And this is the sort of a big question, I guess, about politics. But what do you think? It's interesting that... intersectional feminism definitely is the wave of feminism that we're riding at the moment, which is great because that should be the most important conversation about how these politics don't exist in a vacuum. You can't just talk about women and without talking about, race and class, mm-hmm. and, trans issues are super important in that conversation as well. Why do you think it's sort of important to talk about that in an art context? Not just... in terms of big politics, but speak about it through art. Why is that important, do you reckon?
I guess it can, in a way, potentially more deeply or emotionally touch on our, imaginations, and connect with us sort of emotionally. I think art has the capacity to do that. So, and I think also artists have an ability to look at things from a very kind of, diverse kind of perspective. I guess I would say it kind of enables us to, look at that in a deeper way, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think also it's cathartic as well for people to make things about problems and philosophies that sort of govern your actual life, to then work through that in an art practice. Mm-hmm. It's quite cathartic as well, in a way.
Mm.
So how did you find those different artists that you've been working with? How did they all sort of come together?
Well, the first artist we had for the show, Emma Chalmers, she was kind of part of, in the very beginning, how the show sort of germinated, because she has a series of works from a few years ago called Around the Block on Tenterhooks, and it's sort of watercolour paintings that depict the anti-abortion protests outside the Dunedin Hospital and then the Dunedin Feminist Collective counter-protests to these. And so that was a very Dunedin sort of specific series that I knew about from having worked with her in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been interesting as well just doing the research for the show and seeing how that issue dates back to the 70s and the Dunedin Collective for Women, and how they had so many protests about that issue, and then even again back to the 30s when there was an inquiry into the issue of abortion in New Zealand. So what was the question again? How did the show germinate? I'm just getting on a tangent.
I was enjoying the tangent. I've also lost what I was asking.
How do we source the artist?
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, clearly what you were saying was much more interesting, because I was like, wow, yeah, that's cool.
Just getting on a roll. So basically it sort of started with Emma, and then we just sort of started researching and talking to a lot of people in Dunedin about who do you know that would be kind of good for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had started volunteering for Studio 2 when I landed in Dunedin in April, having moved down there from Auckland. So we sort of had the idea, because Megan was working there at the time, so mm-hmm. we sort of had the idea of, well, what if we have contributions from these artists in the space, you know, because, you know, artists who have intellectual disabilities are so very rarely included in exhibitions with, you know, quote-unquote fine artists. And then also it just kind of came through people we knew and also researching, so... Bridie Loney at the Polytechnic lent me a book called the New Zealand Woman's Picture Book, which is about the women's art movement in the 70s and 80s, and Janet DeVarg was kind of featured in that, talking about her work and how, even then, talking about how it's not, feminism is not just about women, but about issues of class and issues of race. It just came through a lot of research and conversations and developed from there.
Yeah, totally. Theo, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just very
sort of like
engaged.
Perked up by the mic, and I was like, he's got a question.
So were they, was it that you approached individuals, or was it more generally that you were aware of certain work that you wanted to include?
I think the approach we sort of had was that we want the show to be really kind of research focused. Mm-hmm. So for example, the last show I did in Auckland with you, Rachel, I understand if you're busy. One of the things I sort of learned from curating that show was that it would be really great and ideal when you have the time and space in life to be able to put a lot of energy into research when you do a show. And I was working full time when we did that show, so there was very little opportunity to really dive deep into that.
Mm-hmm.
So for this show, we've really tried to read a lot of kind of background books and documents and consult a lot of people. So when we started doing the exhibition, we talked to people at the Otago Polytechnic, we talked to Dunedin Women's Refuge and Rape Crisis, and Dorothy Page at Toitū and Linda Cullen of DPAG and Lauren Gutzel of DPAG, and just tried to get as many kind of perspectives on how is the best way to sort of approach this and who could be the artist that we talk to. Which in contrast with I Understand If You're Busy, that show kind of came about more because we all kind of knew each other in one way or another and decided to do something together. So it was kind of, in this show, I wanted to take a kind of consciously different approach, which was kind of backed by research and a process of consultation with people in the local community who kind of would know about this issue or have engaged with it in the past. So that was kind of our methodology. Yeah.
Awesome. It's quite interesting as well when you take a very, come from research into making rather than from making and curating into research, if that makes sense. It must change the way you think about things you already have sort of preformed ideas about, like Dunedin, you were saying. Has it changed your relationship thinking about that space and that city as well?
I guess in a way it's more changed my relationship with how I see history in relation to feminism in general.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of understanding like the extent of progress that we've made. And I think actually, having the Dunedin specific focus just helps to make that a bit more real and palpable, because you're talking to people who have actual histories and, for example, domestic violence in Dunedin or feminism in Dunedin. So it kind of just really makes those stories at home. So, for example, a really big issue in New Zealand is domestic violence. And I was looking at sort of issues of the Dunedin Collective for Women newsletter, which was published in the 70s, and how that was a big issue then, and also about how basically there was no kind of resources to deal with it at all. Mm. You know, like the police weren't interested in talking about it. Doctors wouldn't help you. And they would even say, we will not give you medical advice unless you go back to your husband who was beating you. So domestic violence was really seen as a very private family issue. And that's only kind of 30 years ago today. So yeah, I mean, just doing that research and talking to people, it just really hits home how bad things were in the past and kind of the amazing work that activist women have done to change that.
Mm. And I guess also where we've still got to go.
Totally, you know, totally, which is a big part of all the conversations we've had as well. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, we might jump into a track now. I've just dragged in a Peaches song because it's been making me think. I haven't listened to any Peaches for a long time.
Oh, she's great.
And she's fantastic. She is fantastic. So this is Close Up featuring Kim Gordon, and we will be chatting to Kari some more just after this.
Look to the right. Look to the right. Get a close up. Let me get a close up. Look to the right. Look to the right. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. Are you ready?
Don't follow patronymic. Splooge, look at that spillage. Scoop it up for the clinic. Try to keep it up in your lineage. Making me livid. Got no limits. Cynic, cynic, cynic. Wait, wait, wait a minute. Who were you looking at when you grew fat? You just blew that. Can't redo that. That diminish the pillage. A privilege to visit my village. Are you finished? Saw shrinkage. You see, it's not coins in my mintage.
Look to the right. Look to the right. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. On your knees. Roll on over. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. You ready?
Homozone, different wardrobe, testosterone. Blend a Tinder, find a grinder, romance the phone. Better go home, better get stoned. Set up in the mirror for peak of the clone. You're a person alone, with a personal loan. Tasha Leon, gonna break your hip bone. Just a lot of scrimmage. Not real, but image. A vintage gimmick that you just can't mimic.
Look to the right. Look to the right. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. On your knees. Roll on over. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. Are you ready?
And you're showing it around like you know me now.
Look, look.
Pumping up the lens, seeing holes and bends. You don't know me now.
Look, look.
Close to the skin, but I never let you in. I'm a secret cow.
Look, look.
Put away the gear, come over here. Let me show you how.
Blink at me. Blink at me, good. Blink at me. Blink at me. Blink at me. Blink at me. Good. Look to the right. Look to the right. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. On your knees. Roll on over. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. Look to the right. Look to the right. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. On your knees. Roll on over. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up.
That was Peaches there, of course. Close up featuring Kim Gordon. I think that was maybe one of the coolest gigs I saw at the King's Arms. It was like 2 years ago? 2 years ago that Peaches, I mean, she's played there before, but that she played there, RIP the King's Arms. We're speaking to Kari Schmidt in Art Bank this morning. How are you, Kari?
I'm still good.
You're still good. Glad to hear it.
Continue to be good.
Glad to hear it.
It'd be really bad if we asked you the beginning of the interview. How are you? And you're like, good. And then we ask you like 10 minutes and you're like, terrible. That was a bad, I'm having a bad time. A
harrowing experience. We hope not. So we're speaking to you about this show that you're curating down in Dunedin, which is about intersectional feminism and 125 years since suffrage in New Zealand, and kind of exploring it through a Dunedin-specific context and through a very diverse cast of artists that you've got working with you. Theo had a good question.
Well, I was just wondering, because I don't know you, I was curious what your kind of background is, because you've alluded to a history of curating. How did you get into curating, and what are some of the sort of projects you've done previously in Auckland and otherwhere?
Okay. So I basically got into curating through, I started making zines when I was in high school, and I've kind of been making zines since then. And through doing that, I've organised events and gigs and like poetry readings and that kind of thing. So I had a bit of experience in kind of event organising in the past. And then eventually I just decided, I mean, I had curated very small, like one kind of evening event things in the past, but this year slash end of last year, I just decided, along with a friend of mine, Lulu Callister Baker, who's amazing, just to try and curate something in Auckland and go for it. Because for me, that kind of comes from a philosophy and a background of zines and punk and DIY, and if there's not an opportunity to do something, just make that opportunity. So I curated I Understand If You're Busy, which Rachel exhibited work in earlier this year, which was a room gallery in Auckland and then Tassett Gallery in Hamilton.
It was a good time, if I say so myself.
Thank you. And yeah, then I've kind of gone on to organising this exhibition with my sister in Dunedin. And kind of my process with it is, I mean, I guess it's just like anything in life. Topics come up and relationships with people come up and serendipity sort of happens and you just decide to do something. So I've also worked as a lawyer for the last couple of years in Auckland before moving down to Dunedin to kind of spend a bit of time down there and work on this and other projects. So yeah, that's kind of my background, but I've sort of always been trying to do a bit of art and law at the same time.
I saw that you, did you write a thesis or a dissertation on appropriation?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
how did you find out about that?
I stumbled across it because Rachel said you were coming in. I was like, I should Google this person.
Theo was doing his research.
Yeah, nice.
So I was curious, like, it was about the history of appropriation in the context of art?
Yeah, so essentially I kind of talked about the philosophy of appropriation art and a lot of artists and kind of writers who argue that anything is up for grabs in a conversation about the world and criticality, and we should be able to, you know, take anything and use it to make something else or to comment on it in the world at large. So that's kind of the philosophy of appropriation art. And then I kind of looked at how that conflicts ostensibly with copyright law, which says that anything that you produce, you should kind of own, absolutely. And you should own the rights to, so people can't kind of just take what you make and use it for themselves. And so what's kind of the conflict there and how does that kind of get resolved in varying different countries? And so often that's through kind of exceptions to copyright law. So in America, that's fair use, and in New Zealand, UK, Canada, and Australia, that's fair dealing. But the basic kind of premise of the thesis was that those exceptions, especially in New Zealand, are very narrow. But yeah, it was basically a look at kind of the tension between those two sort of systems.
Is New Zealand, we still don't have parody law?
No, we don't.
Which is quite
What is parody law? I have no idea. You've gone over my head.
Well, it's like an exception to like a taking of a piece of intellectual property where you say it's okay if you do it if it's a parody or a satire, for example. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting sort of question because I guess it's like anything with law sometimes, and I have to be careful what I say because people should follow the law, but you know, it's sort of like what Led Zeppelin said before they got famous, because they stole a lot of music from other musicians and they sort of said, well, it doesn't matter unless we get big, and then they got big and subsequently had, you know, massive copyright trials against them. So in a way it's a little bit of a strategic kind of game, but yeah,
I mean, it's an interesting thing because knowing, like you said before, that you came from a zine background where that's it's essential, right? Like
totally.
Yeah, and wholesale taking of existing material.
Yeah, and that was totally what I always did when I made zines in the past. I would just take images off Google and use them, you know, because the reality is you're making something that has a very small run that you're not selling, you know, so it's very unlikely that you're going to have any kind of, you know,
pushback.
But I mean, and then in contrast, I would say with this exhibition, because with the publication we're going to have potentially a bigger audience and want it to be a little bit more, you know, higher level and professional, quote unquote, images that we're using, for example, from the Otago Pioneer Women's mm-hmm. Association, we're going through a process of actually asking them to use that and pay for the image, you know, so that we're actually going through a legitimate pathway. So
it's all above board, nice
yeah,
and clean.
Yeah, totally. It's, I mean, I think these things are always a little bit of a judgment call and mm-hmm. very contextual, but that's totally the approach I always took with zines in the past, and that's kind of their philosophy that I love as well. You know, it's just like, just do it and don't think about any bureaucracy or processes, you know, because that's just a barrier, but...
If it's a problem, it's a problem, but realistically it won't be.
Yeah, totally, you know.
So it sounds like there's a lot of your background informs the kind of way that this show's come about down in Dunedin. What are some key facts people need to know? Like, where can they go? What can they find online about it? Or soon will they be able to find online about it?
Okay, so it's going to be in September with the opening on the 7th and finishing on the 21st, so it'll run for 2 weeks. We're still finalising the venue, which is not going to be at the Blue Oyster.
Yeah, sorry,
the
guys, Blue Oyster, ignore me.
No, it's okay. The Blue Oyster are organising a separate exhibition to commemorate the 125th anniversary, which is going to be amazing in an association with the Hocken. And we'll definitely be checking that out as well. But ours is like an independent, kind of independently cool. run exhibition. But if we get funding for that, it'll be, yeah, it just kind of depends with the venue. But we're going to be posting our interviews for the publication on a blog, which is going to be just search Dunedin Intersectional Feminism, and you'll be able to find that. And the details for the show will kind of come up on there. And hopefully if BFM will maybe plug that.
We'll be plugging it.
We have a Facebook event, which will also be quite soon.
Fantastic, so, fantastic. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely be plugging that because it sounds like a cool, really cool show, really well thought out, awesome group of people involved with it. So if you're heading down to Dunedin, that's one to check out in September, or keep an eye on online because it's going to be a good one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.